Well, I will begin waiting for a computer with another browser, and not with Opera, but it doesn't matter very much. My name is Flavia. I'm going to try to explain you today how to find almost anything on the web, as far as you can digitally reproduce it. So you will go out of this session today, and you will be able to find any music you like, any film or image you want, any text you would like to have, for free, of course. But to search the web is not so easy, and it is not simply taking Google and putting a word inside it and then hoping to find the right page. You will waste a lot of time that way. There are much better and much more effective methods to find everything, and I will try to explain them to you. Waiting for the computer with internet access, I will bring it here. I will show you something which is important, and which is the structure of the web from a searcher point of view. If you understand this, you will be able to use the appropriate technique when searching. Now, some of the things that I will explain today are slightly illegal in some part of the world. I hope not here. This is the web. Today it's something like 11 milliards. I should use billions, but I use milliards, it's more clear. 11 milliard sites. Then you have one part which is outside the web, which points to the web. All the sites which are here link to the web, but are not linked back. Another part is the contrary. All the sites which are here are linked from the web, but they don't link back. Thank you. So, around this huge bulk, which is the web that you know, there are a constellation of places which are hidden databases. It may be a huge museum where you have to pay to look at something. It may be a porn collection of images. It may be the CIA servers with data in them, whatever. These databases are linked from the web, but you should pay, theoretically, to look at them. We will also see how to enter databases without paying, of course. One of the big problems that we have with the web is that all this bulk is not indexed. Just to make an example, Google covers maybe one-third of it. Maybe one-third. Nobody knows, actually. But these are the best guesses we have. So with Google alone, as most people do, very fond of Google, it's a very good search engine, no problem with that. With Google alone, you will never get to this part. Never. Now, if you use some other important search engines like Fast, OpenFind, you name it, we will make a small list later. You can cover a little more and maybe get to one quarter, ein Viertel of the web. But this part will still be uncovered. Now, the information you want are probably information which are not in Google. Just to make a simple example, if you search with Google for MP3, you will find a lot of noise and very few signal because of the importance of this search nowadays. Commercial interests have deviated it, and Google will not give you good results for that. Same thing for software that you might need, or for documents which are really important. So the problem is how to get at these data and these data and these data from behind. Not from the front door, which doesn't exist, but from behind. You can. And I will try to show you how to do it. A simple example is these. All these sites, as I told you, are linking to the web, but they are not linked back. So how do you find them? Well, you can do it with a technique called as clebbing, which is making booby traps, and the does it work? Hey, and the people will browse from these sites to your booby trap site. You will see in the referral logs where they come from, and so you will know of the existence of these places. Very few people browse with proxies or anonymizers. Most people browse directly, like there were no problem on the web. So any site can see the tracks they leave and can see where they come from. So with a little social engineering, you can do very good stuff. You can, for instance, prepare a very nice page on a very important and good, interesting argument, and then publish it on some Usenet groups or message boards, and people who have these sites outside will come to that and will leave a referral in your logins. So you will be able to know of the existence of that. Just to make you an example, on my site, which is concentrated on searching techniques, come a lot of people from message boards that I didn't even know do exist. The problem with the web is that there are a lot of communities working on similar things which never meet. It is very strange. Something that I publish will go without any feedback for months. And then all of a sudden, I get 20 or 25 emails about something that I forgot, actually, because on some message board somewhere in Korea, somebody discovered it and they are discussing it. So, and I see that because they come to the site because somebody published something, so and you get that. So this art called clebbing is the only way you have to get to the part of the web which are not linked back. Now I would like to have internet access to show you something more, but I will go on with that. The databases, the hidden databases, you can enter there in many ways. The simplest one is breaking the password, which is very easy because most people use very easy to find passwords. And most passwords are published on the web, which is incredible, but I will show you an example in short time. And it is true. So you can search for passwords, find the passwords, and then enter the web. Nice. Now I can show you something more interesting. Thank you very much. Well, very good. If only now I knew where the
little slow, but I hope something is happening.
Sure.
So now you see it a little better. That's an example I made. As you can see, the small red part inside, this is the part which is indexed, the part which the search engine covers. Now, for search engines, once more, you must not think at Google alone. There are many other ways to get, for instance, there are many regional search engines, which are very important. If you make a search with Google for Spanish search engines, you will find a lot of specialized search engines which work with Spanish-speaking sites, maybe South American, maybe Spanish. If you make the same search with Google or whatever for Buscadores Hispanos, you will find many more search engines which are even more authoritative because they are really made by Spanish people for Spanish interests. So once you find something like 20 Spanish search engines which are good, you test them, you can write, we won't go into that now, maybe later if somebody's interested, you can write a small script in order to query all the search engines, Spanish search engines at once. And then you will find a lot of things which you will not be able to find on Google. Another way to get at your targets is to use Usenet and the message boards. A sad thing today is that many young people don't even know that Usenet exists and that is a very useful thing. You can search, as you do know, Usenet using once more Google, because Google bought Deja News some time ago. It's called now Google Groups. Here it is. I don't know why we have this in German. I think the only way to go out of the German thing here is to write com point. Yes, I know, but if you do that like that, I think, if it works. Yeah, that's... Here it is. Yeah, no, I don't want to do it that way, because here...
You can save that.
Yes, of course. Now you can...
Just enter EN there, EN where it is. And there's a preference.
Yes. That was not what I wanted to show you, actually. And we are still in Deutsch, as you see. No, we will do it the other way, even if I'm not up. Space. I have enough now. We are going the other way. Perfect. This thing doesn't work. You see, there is no way to take... Yeah, I know, I'm trying to get it away. I will. Yeah, but it doesn't work here. Well, I want mine. I know where I go. Yeah, we are in German, perfect. There is no way to do it, apparently. Wait a moment, this is quite funny, because normally...
It's not really, really getting us anywhere, right? So let's go, preferences, languages.
Got it. Now, when you use Usenet, unfortunately now, you are not using anymore the global search power of many people as you could for 2 or 3 years, because more and more message boards outside Usenet are now being used, which means that you have to comb the web for data on Usenet and on many message boards which are outside Google. The way to do it is through Usenet itself, because most of the time the people that use private message boards, let's call them that way, that use private message boards will also post on Usenet, on the real Usenet. So normally it is possible to find many interesting message boards through Usenet nevertheless. One of the problems in searching So this is another attempt to try to explain you visually how it looks like. Using the main search engines, you arrive at more or less 33%, so one-third of the web. You can get 10% more with regional search engines, so especially Indian, Japanese, Russian search engines are very useful to find things that West European and American search engines don't list anymore. Usenet will give you another 10%, more or less. And all the clabbing and stalking activity and the use of your own boards will give you another 10%. The problem is that even in that way, with this long-term seeking, because it means that you have to take the time to prepare a search with and spend some time on that, a part of the web will always remain uncovered, which is something that you should keep in mind when you search. Now, I will show you, for instance, how you should proceed to find some MP3. I know that MP3 is a very stupid example because it's actually pretty easy to find. But some of the techniques which I will show you will be useful also for other things, for instance, for documents or for targets that you might have. So now, I wanted to show that to you before, but I didn't have the computer. This is very interesting. That's an example of absolute password stupidity on the web, which I like very much, and I want to show it to you. So, this is St. Michel Library Information Services, and they have a list here of password-protected e-journals. And you can read it. Use of these passwords is restricted to St. Michel College faculty, staff, and students. Please do not share password information with users outside of St. Michel College. And now you have Business Week Online, username Darik, password Hs, a lowercase. This is online, huh? They did put it online. This is just one example. You can find, if you know how to search, but even if you don't know how to search, actually, you can find hundreds of these things. I mean, it is incredible. Now, I don't need the New England Journal of Medicine. I mean, if I would, I could just search for New England Journal of Medicine plus username plus password, and this site, if Google had indexed it, probably has, or faster, would come out. That's how it comes. So now here, for instance, you have an example of some easy way to access this hidden database or paying database on the web. That's a very nice example, but there are many like that. Yeah? And you can play this game and find them a lot. Just to make you an example, if you search for Bob, the double point Bob. You know, this is the way username and password are put on the web. So how many people do you think use the Bob and Bob? Many, many, look. So here, about 50.
Excuse
but
me?
Google is not very good for these things because they censorship a lot. But even here, I mean, sheerstalking.com is maybe not something that you would like to see, but You could use Bob and go inside that kind of thing.
Sorry?
Yeah. Problem?
I have a comment to make to the for the publishing.
Sorry?
Here, I want to make a comment for the publishing of passwords on websites. It looks some kind of stupidity, but it could also be. It is done on my university because the law forces us to use passwords on documents, and we won't use passwords. So we put the passwords on the web page,
yes.
and the law is accepted, and it's all okay, and this, everybody can download.
This I understand and I know, but I don't have the impression that in this case, this is the case. I have the impression that here, they even put that in red, you see. Use of this password is restricted. So somebody...
It's a standard disclaimer, you have to put it in.
Well, don't know. Anyway, you will find in this way, you will find lists of passwords which are definitely not meant to be published, as you will see if you use this simple thing. But I wanted to show you something more. The same you can apply to these. This is a very common password. You can make many, many examples by yourself. This is also a very, very, very common password here. Most of the time, you will fish out idiot porn sites or that kind of things. But, for instance, you can even specifically look at this one. This is not very politically correct, but it works as well. So if somebody is interested in supermodel tits, you can search now the other way around. You search the site you're interested in, and now you search the password good for that site. For instance, 63637C, no, that's a good one for supermodel tits. So, so that's the other way around, you see. I have chosen a very stupid example because I know that it works every time. More complicated examples sometimes don't work. Let's see a more complicated query, which is very interesting, which is a query which is used to find software for free on the web. This is more complicated, as you will see. I'm still using Google. Now, what I have here, I have in title index of slash, then I have parent directory. I don't see it very well here. Let's go back to my... and move it. Then I have point NFO here, point NFO. Then I have point rar. Then I have point RO5 because I don't want small things. Then I have, that's important. Then I have point R10 just to make sure that things are good. Then I have minus file type HTM. I don't want HTM file actually, I'm looking for something else. And of course, minus file type HTML. So what I've done here is to eliminate the most possible noise from my query. This is also a pretty stupid query for software, but you can do the same thing for many other things. There is something you must be aware of, which is very interesting and very useful for people that want to search documentation, which may be important, for instance, for root organization or social groups. And it is that many institutions and universities publish documents in DOC format, which is Windows, Microsoft, Word format. Now, Word is a very interesting and stupid program which automatically saves changes inside files. Per default, in Word, you have a save fast option which is enabled when people use Word. Now, save fast does exactly the contrary of what it says. It keeps track of everything you changed. Now, these people in the American government, for instance, they publish then documents directly in doc format on the web. If you look at these documents with X Editor, you will see all the changes they made.
This is a very, very important thing and very interesting, because it will allow you, or same for private industries and that kind of things, it will allow you to see the genesis of a document and to see what they changed, which is most of the time more important than the thing that they did leave there. And it, going fishing for doc format documents on the web, it's a very, very, how to say in German, lustig, very funny thing you can do. Now, back to our search things. Let's have a look at the MP3 searches, which are a very simple one. It's this one. Now we are searching for plus quote index plus of slash MP3 quote plus Dylan. But you can, of course, put Vivaldi if you prefer. And this is a very simple, the most simple one, way to find, not to find MP3, but to eliminate a lot of noise. If you search for MP3 and Dylan on Google, you are a sitting duck. You won't find nothing. But if you do it this way, you will find better things, because I don't know if you can do it now, because I already published that many times, so maybe they... It's a little slow, this internet connection, somehow. Is everybody connected here in Salon on the same line, maybe? It doesn't work? One line. Well, let's go to the cached one. So you see, where you land normally with these kind of things is directly where the MP3 are. Yeah? This is the cache of Google, but I don't know if the site exists. We can try the real one. No. Okay, so that is a simple search. This one is slightly more complex, and is also very interesting. I don't know what's going on here. Connection was refused somehow. And this one, there's no line anymore here. Yeah? Boop. We can have a look at it in the meantime. So, you know that in many search engines, not only in Google, there is a safe on, safe off function that requires you to click somewhere and to save your preferences. You can just smash save equal off inside the search string before starting the search, and it will automatically work. You don't need to go into the bazaar of taking the save off. Can I try again? I have the impression there is no connection anymore. Is it possible? Yeah. There is no connection anymore with the web. You know why? Somebody knows?
No idea. That's really very broken. Yeah, we lost our IP address.
Discuss something else, which is a main point that you should be aware of. Why there are free search engines? You know why, I hope. It is because they need to know what you are searching for. A search engine is a very good thing, because you can know what many people are searching for. So you can have a lot of information for free. Now, insider trading in shares is nothing compared with what they can gather through a good search engine. They will see immediately what people are interested for, and they can grab all those data immediately. It's the same reason that free Hotmail or Yahoo email addresses exist. Of course, they want to know what you are speaking about and writing about. It is not that they are physically reading it, but they are grabbing that. And if they suddenly see interest in some part of the world for something, they may try to make some money out of that. That's the very reason of the existence of search engines. And that's the very reason you should always be very aware of not letting your personal data on the web. You should lie like madmen, always. You should never tell any personal data. When you have those options with rolling menus where you can choose option, you may always choose the first one. So your country is Albania and your personal income is $2 or whatever. That's the easiest way to do it. Because other ways, they're going to use those data immediately. And at least you can try to confirm them a little. A very good option is to choose other, because then they will think, what did we forget to put inside that? So that's also something that you should be aware of. Now, it is impossible on the web not to leave some tracks. But you can try to be a little more anonymous when you surf. A good way to do that is to use a good browser with a good anonymizer. I personally use is the Opera browser, which I think is the best one by far, compared with the others, which has a beautiful option of stopping image loading on the fly if you need it, and also to stop the background loading on the fly if necessary. There are some sites with awful colors, you cannot even read the letters there. Opera has a small icon and you eliminate the background, another icon and you eliminate all images on the page, on that page. Try to do that with Microsoft Explorer, you will lose 2 hours to find where you can switch the images off. Now, Opera with Proxometron, for instance, is a very good choice because then you can use some proxies as well. If you chain 2 or 3 proxies, I hope you know how to do it. If not, it's very easy to find on the web. You have some more chances to leave not too many tracks of where you've been. What I have noticed is that very few people do that. I see that from the people visiting my site, that out of, let's say, 1 million visitors, maybe 10,000 use a proxy. Of course, this is not good, because on one side, the other zombies, they leave a lot of data, and on the other side, these point the attention to the people using proxies. It's a little like PGP. I mean, so few people use PGP that those that use that are immediately suspect. So, my opinion, a very good thing to do for those of you who are programmers would be to create a more simple way to use proxy automatically and to distribute that under GNU license to everybody. Because my impression is that the procedure of using and chaining proxies at the moment are still too cumbersome, and that many people don't do that. They don't give a fuck, why should I? And the result of that is that they leave a lot of tracks everywhere. That's a task that should be, in my opinion, taken more seriously by everybody. Now, there are other simple methods to use very simple proxies. For instance, when you are in a corporation and you don't want to let the system administrators know where you have been, which is very stupid, but it works most of the time, unless they are really checking you, which is to use a translator. Now, there are many translators on the web, for instance, Babelfish by Alta Vista. You choose a URL, and the translator translates that URL from, let's say, from German into English somehow. It's not a very good translation, but it does it. Now, you choose an URL, and you choose translation from Portuguese into English. The URL is in English, so it will remain. Nothing will be translated. And you will see this URL, but on the URL, there will be the bubble fish from Alta Vista track. So on the logins of your system, you will have Alta Vista, because you are actually accessing Alta Vista, and Alta Vista is translating on the fly that URL. So that's a kind of stupid proxy which works very well, and which doesn't leave We are still here somewhere, I don't know where. So, it's a little difficult to carry on this workshop without a web connection. But let's see what else there is that we can do without that. Yes. The main search engines at the moment are Google, Fast, and OpenFind. What's happening here? Don't worry. Google is very American-oriented. Fast, or all the web is called also, is more European-oriented, and OpenFind is more China, Japanese-oriented. So if you want a very short rule in order to choose which one to choose, this is a good one, actually. You should always try to use at least two search engines. Do not, I repeat, do not rely on Google alone. You shouldn't do that. You will be amazed by the wealth of differences which the use of more than one search engine will give you. I would suggest at the beginning to use at least one non-Boolean and one Boolean engine. For Boolean, you know, that's an engine where you can use not and near, that kind of things, which are very useful. And in my opinion, a good idea is to use, for instance, Google and Fast. Another one would be to use Hotbot, which is an Inktomi engine, which is also quite accurate at times. You should try them out. To rely on Google alone, it's a mistake that you will pay in losing time in order to find what you're looking for. There are some engines which have been closed. It's the case of Northern Light, which was a Canadian engine, very good, which now doesn't work anymore. Doesn't work anymore because they went commercial. They want people to pay in order to use it. Now, there is a way to use it nevertheless that I cannot show to you now, but you will be able to find it. Okay. Sorry?
Wir kriegen das hier schon hin, und es ist nicht der Laptop und es ist nicht das Betriebssystem, es ist IP-Adressen, okay?
I will record now to a very old system, which works very well. Ah, yes. See, I found something else interesting. I told you that one of the interesting things is how to get to the data from behind, and not from the front. A very good idea is to search for sites which do not exist anymore, which is possible, because there is a web archive which has made a complete copy of the web, and you can search for it. You can even search in a specific year. For instance, you can search for Alta Vista in 97, Alta Vista in 98, Alta Vista in 99, and you will see how it modified the look and the property during the time. This is an incredible feature which poses some interesting copyright problems, because you cannot actually pull something off the web. The very moment you publish something, it will remain there forever. Somebody is going to make a copy of it immediately, and it will reappear somewhere. There is no way, apparently, to not to find something on the web, which is very interesting for searchers. So if something was there, and you remember some word of that, you can find it. Are we back on track?
Yes. Hello. I had the impression that Web Archive stopped indexing the web end last year. Do you know anything about it? They don't have any new sites from this year.
As far as I know, they did stop and they did begin again. But I should check it. I'm not sure about that. I know that they did stop. That was in September, I think, or in August, September. And I know that apparently somebody told me that they began again. But I must confess to you, I didn't check that.
Okay,
you know more about that?
No. I wanted to ask you.
What I know is that they stopped and they began again. But so anyway, now searching the web of the past, you can do many things. For instance, a very important thing to do is when you are trying to find out once again passwords. Searching the web of the past, you can reconstruct the possible passwords for a site using the part of the site that don't exist anymore. I will try to explain to you a little better because maybe it's a little confused like that. Imagine you have a site somewhere, and imagine that there is a password at chess, a good one, not a stupid one. We will see how to eliminate the stupid one in a moment. But a good one. So you have to find that password. And you try a brute force attack, and it doesn't work somehow. Chances are that the password is hidden in the walls of the site. So you make a vocabulary out of the site itself, and you use that vocabulary in order to find the correct password to enter. Now, sometime even idiots realize that, and they eliminate the pages where those kind of words were. But they forget that you can find copies of the previous years of that same site, and you can grab those copies, and you can find those words nevertheless. Sound a little complicated, but it's very easy to do, actually, and you should try by yourself. It is quite great fun. Another good way to get from behind the data is using Netcraft. I cannot show it to you now, but Netcraft is a search engine that gives you names of the sites. So if you search, for instance, for the word search, you will get all the sites that exist that have the word search inside their name. Now, many of these sites won't be functional. They will have bought the name and not use it yet. But many will be functional, and you wouldn't have found them in another way. But using Netcraft, I'm getting curious about your ability of reinstalling that. Okay. Good thing that I had this on. Ah, yes. This is another field which should be covered, which is guessing, which is very important when you search. Let's imagine that you have an interest on Nikon cameras. Well, a very easy way. Got it? Does it work?
Yeah, hopefully.
Without screen. Yes. Perfect. It's going to get difficult. Sorry about that, but I want to get there. I cannot even see that. Just a moment. That it is very difficult now, huh? So this was the more complicated search which for MP3. No, network problem. So I will renounce to that. So something more about guessing, which is important nevertheless. Guessing, it's very important on internet because the names are many times the same. For instance, let's imagine you have a site. Let's imagine you have a site where you have a directory like this one. Thank you. Directory like this one.
HTTP target site com, and then you have demo, and then you have HED32 zip, and this is a file you can download. It's a demo file. Chances are that you have the same structure, the same name, HED32 zip, but here you have something else instead of demo. For instance, service, product, clients. There are many combinations. Now, this file will not be a demo. It will be the real one. So practically, in guessing this single subdirectory, you bypass all possible verification routines, paying routines, whatever you need to get there. This is a very interesting thing, which works most of the time. You must have a little, how do you say it in German, Fingerspitzengefühl, but it is incredibly easy in this way to enter in a lot of places. So I made you an example for software, but as you can imagine, the same thing applies for everything. So the web was made for sharing. The structure of the web is made for sharing, not for hoarding, not for selling. So we can use this fact that the web is made in this way to find whatever we want. There is no barrier that can stop you. Another example is to guess the name of the HTML page directly. If you are interested in Nikon cameras, of course you can search for Nikon, but it is much easier to write Nikon 3 HTM in Google, for instance, and you will find all the pages which have this name. So the page has been called Nikon 3 HTM, which means there is a page Nikon 2, there is a page Nikon 1, maybe there is a page Nikon 4, who knows, but you are already in the middle of the things you're looking for. So it could be Picasso 4 HTM and HTML. Must try both of them, of course. And you get there. You get there because people have a limited imagination. And names are everything on the web. So whatever you're looking for, a very interesting approach is this one. Another trick, I've completely renounced to use the computer because it is impossible, apparently. Another trick is to repeat the search. You should try it. If your computer works, I hope it for you, you should try it. For instance, let's remain with the Nikon example. You can search for Nikon on Google, and you will find a lot of noise. But you can search for Nikon, two times. Huh? You will find less noise. You can search for Nikon, three times in Google. You will find less noise. Now, it doesn't extend to the infinite because I think after three or four times it stops, but it works. Then you can perfectionate this with another trick, which is -.com. This is beautiful. You eliminate all the com sites, which are rubbish anyway. So if you add this to this string, you eliminate a lot of noise. It's not finished. -tits. Even less noise. This begins to be a very good search string. It's not finished yet, but you should try. I'm just trying to give you a lot of entrancy in searching because you will be able, I hope, to find for yourself the things that interest you more at the end. But if you build a search string in this way, and maybe you can even Nikon F2. Now, if you have that kind of, I don't know what you're looking at. Now, this will give you a lot less noise and will enable you to find more quickly and more directly what you are looking for. Yeah. I was speaking about combing at the beginning, but maybe I didn't explain it enough. It must be very clear to you. It's very important. There is no point in searching, in you searching something. You should search people that have searched that something. There are people everywhere doing everything. So if you're interested in Nikon, for instance, you can bet that there is some oddball in America or in Japan or I don't know where, in Spain, that has spent 3 years searching for Nikon. So you have to find him and his site or his, I don't know, his Usenet communication or whatever. He has worked 3 years on that. So you find him first. And then you have a jump start of 3 years' work. So that's combing. Combing is finding people that already have searched for you what you're looking for, which is very easy on the web. Now, you can comb very effectively on Usenet, as I told you, and on the message boards, but there are some techniques which are very important in order to comb correctly, which are, for instance, used to lure people in giving you information that they don't want to give you. Because there are two kinds of people. People that have searched and have published that because they want other people to know, and that's good. But there are other people who have searched and then they keep the data they found somewhere. So in order to get these people to spit out the data you want, you have to stalk them, to lure them, to social engineer them. There are many techniques for that. But it is very important you learn that. And if you do that, and if you do that well, you can, with very a minimum amount of effort, find a lot on the web. Ah, yes. I wanted to show that, but I need a computer for that. Well, let's give some... Are we there? Some general advices. I will keep this microphone, if I may, because it's nicer than the other one. Good. Here is an example. Searching for disappear site, as you can see, that's the Archive.org at Alexa, the web machine that we use. But you have also another form here where you can even choose the year. For instance, 97. I didn't do it before, so I don't know if it works, but this is a good example, I think. No, it doesn't work. Okay, this doesn't matter very much anyway. It was just to show you an example of... because an interesting thing with search engines is how they did modify during these years. I've seen them at the beginning, and I've seen the evolution they had. It is incredible. I mean, some of them went very essential, like Google. One of the secrets of Google's success is that it is essential. There is no frill, nothing. But if you look at Excite or Yahoo is the worst example. Yahoo was a very good search engine, and actually it is still now a good search engine, but it is so cluttered from irrelevant things that it is even difficult to see where you can search on Yahoo now. Now, this development over the years did not pay. So they went commercial a lot, and they lost the point of their search engines, and these did allow Google the incredible progress that they made in the... So this is an example of Netcraft, which I want you to see, because it's more useful than people believe. Let's make it with Nikon, why not? Should come. Takes a lot of time, but the result is interesting. So, the 878 sites contain the name Nikon inside the name of the site. Now, some of them will not be useful, some of them will be, but the other interesting thing in Netcraft is this on the right side, which means that you can know, for instance, Nikon Topic and Nejap, you can know what kind of operating system when
he comes, if he comes. Now, you will see it in a moment. And for some sites, there is even a graphic of the frequency on the sites. If it, no, once more back. We are still, I think it doesn't work anymore, unfortunately. Okay. Okay, let's show you something else if it works. Here. So there are 177 sites called Password 3 HTM. It is a very interesting thing. You should try it by yourself. Probably there is a password 2 and a password 1 as well, most of them. Some of them will give you real passwords, some of them will not. I don't know if you know this funny story. This is the story of the hard-coded passwords. In many databases, there is a hard-coded password that allow immediate access. It means that if you know it, you can access it wherever it is used. The most famous case that almost everybody knows is Boland in Price database, which has the hard-coded password politically correct. So if you put politically as ID and correct as password, you get inside. Now, this is a database which was used by many, many, many sites until 2001, and it is still used now by many that don't know this. So if you ever find this kind of database, Borland, and you can use political correct in order to enter it. But the funny thing is that you can find lists like this one, if it comes. Yeah, wunderschön. See, 3Com, that's it, all the password for the 3Com databases, all the password for Alcatel, all the passwords for the for everything, actually. You see? The reason of the existence of this kind of thing, I believe, is that they are compelled by law to give to the legal entities in the states a backdoor. And somehow all these backdoors have been now published are on the web. And so everybody can enter any... Hey, Oracle, look. Some of them don't work anymore. Most of them do work. There is something that we must also be clear about, which is the time on the web. The time is very slow. Some exploit for old system, which did work in 96, do still work now. Because the patches are out, but not every system administrator is looking for the patches and using them. So, I don't know, a World National Gallery somewhere in Madagascar can go online with an old system and you can use an exploit which is old as the cuckoo in order to get inside it. The time is very, very slow, so the information does not spread immediately. So when you find something like the politically correct entrance for Borland, you might rest assured that if you go home this evening or in 1 year time, you will still find some Borland database on the web where you can enter with politically correct. Funny, but it is like that. Now, back to our thing. I had prepared a very interesting long searching string that I wanted to show you. Yes. So one other way to play with Google is to use a very long phrase to search things. Let's imagine you want to find the Lord of the Ring, which you shouldn't be able to find because it is copyrighted, but it doesn't matter today. So you look for this long string. Who is that? Frodo asked when he got a chance to whisper to Mr. Butterbur. I took it yesterday from the Lord of the Ring. You must be precise when you put it inside a good search engine. If you do that, you could do that for any book, by the way. We have to suffer this. Voila. We will not have much. We have 15 copies of The Lord of the Ring in Google, but Google is notoriously censorship-friendly. But, 15, it's enough for you to choose.
So you see the complete string. A good rule in Google is to use always at least 5 words. Do not search with 1 word. Do not search with 2 words. It doesn't make any sense. You will lose time. It doesn't make any sense. The time you spend in thinking about the words you use for the search is very good, very well spent. The time you use in smashing some words inside Google and then hoping to find the right is not good spent. It's not a good way to find things. So this is a very long phrase and it works perfectly in order to find books. Back to the various techniques, if it comes. Yes. I think I did give you a panorama of all of them. This is taking ages, huh? Yeah. Yes. One word about the meta engines. And then one word about the commercial bots, which are also very interesting. Meta engines, as you know, are compound engines where, like Dogpile, you search for something and Dogpile goes and search in Google, in Fast, in Hotbot, wherever. They're not very good. The reason they're not very good is that they spend a small amount of time searching on those engines, so they cut a lot of results. Now, you must understand that already Google or Fast cuts a lot. If the servers of Google are overloaded, they will give you less answers than you actually asked for or could find. So a meta engine does the same thing once more. So it's a second level of cutting out things. That's the reason you normally shouldn't use them. They may be useful at times when you are really in a hurry on a very general search to find some angles to begin some serious work. But normally, meta engines and compound engines are not very good. The few ones that were good have been killed. Xquick is the typical example of a very good meta engine which doesn't work anymore. Commercial bots, the most famous one are Copernic and WebFerret. I don't know if somebody of you has ever used them. What you can do with commercial bots is very interesting. Now, how do they work? They work in this way. Every time you begin a search, they send a query to Copernic or WebFerret server. They check the new queries or the updated queries for all the search engines, and then they go to the search engines, bring your query there, and bring you back the results. Why do they do that? For two reasons. The first reason is that the WebFerret server want to know what you're looking for. That's the very reason they prepared the bot and gave it to you free. The second reason is that they really need this update because search engines' algorithms change all the time, for reasons that I will explain in a minute. And if they would use the old algos to query the search engines, some of them would not work. So they go there, get the update, and go there. What we did, it's a very interesting thing. We bypassed all of this completely. We go to the WebFerret server. We take the updated query, and we use them for our own bots. So, no information for them, and they do all the work for us, the contrary of what they wanted, which is beautiful. You will find these small bots with complete source code on my sites. And you can use them. And you can modify them. And you can eliminate search engines that you don't like, and you can add other ones. It's very easy. There are Perl bots, Rebel bots, and most of them are PHP bots made by the people at the PHP lab, which are very good at that. And which recently, I must add, did a beautiful thing. Actually, they did it 2 days ago, I think, or 3, which I want to show you. It's what we call a wand of opening. It's a bot that automatically bypass all Java protections on any sites. I will show it to you. You can use it. You can even take the code
and here it is. I hope it comes. Does it move? So the reason the search, in the meantime I will continue, the reason the search engine are changing algos all the time is that people try to guess which algos they use in order to push up their sites on the results. There are many people which make a lot of money on that, which are professionally studying search engines in order to push sites up on the results, which should not be up on the first time. It is not here, it is here. Yeah, we have some boats that, here they are. This is the one of opening, which you will see in a minute. Voila. These are all the Java applets that you will be able to bypass. You just type with this wand, we call that wand, it's actually a script. Huh? You just type the URL inside there, and if there are any of these Java applets protections, they will be automatically deprotected. It's actually a very good thing. For Alem, because you can study how it is made, and you can learn how to do it yourself. The aim of this thing is that, once more, that information should never be hoarded. So this is a way to access information which you may need. And it is explained in this essay that I showed to you before. There are many other small boats here. And as you will see, some of them will allow you to use WebFerret and Copernic servers updates in order to query the web without you having any every time to check what the hell they changed in the, I don't know, hotbot in order to chase it. Yeah. Sorry, a moment. Yes, there is one thing that I... Yeah. This is another interesting thing as an example. It's not important per se, but it is an interesting example. As you know, in the European Union, most of the laws are published on the official journal, which is published in all languages, by the way. And all grassroots organizations and social movements have a lot of research to do on these kind of things, and they lose a huge amount of time in order to find this official journal. So we made a simple JavaScript. For instance, in German. And actually, you could do the same on the Europa server of the European Union, but it will take you a very long time to do that, even longer than this one. And these kind of small forms are very, very useful for people that need information without losing too much time. Does work. Well, anyway, if you at home, you can try it again, it will work. It is just an example of the vastness of information that is on the web, which is somewhere, but which is not so easy to use. The quantity of new data in the web is quite... I made this example here, that in 5 seconds, half a million new scanned images come on the web. It's more or less calculated. And it is a quantity which is very difficult to realize. A whole national library
from some God-forgotten African country goes online, and then you have all those books online. As I told you before, it is not a big problem to enter databases, and it means that all this information is there. You have now this internet where you have every text, every music, every image, every dream that humanity has made in his history is there. You can find your history books. You can find the lullabies that you heard when you were a young person. You can find everything. And it is incredibly easy to do that. And the more you do that, the more you learn how to avoid losing too much time. The image of the web that we have is of a huge ball of useless sites with a lot of small nuggets inside, which are very interesting and very important. The web is maybe the only place which explains itself. You can find instructions inside the web DNA. You can find them, and you can use them to learn. And it is incredible the difference that makes when you have, you see, how should I say, like in Matrix, wake up. You are in a very funny world. You are now in a very funny world where 300 people have as much money as 3 million. This is normal data. Nobody speaks about that, or they do, but they, oh, well, that's life. 300 people in this world have as much data, as much money every year as the other 3 million poor. That's as simple as that. This data on the United Nations site. It's incredible. This is the world we live in. And in this world, for the first time, there is the possibility now to have all the information you want, whatever it is, for the bad, for the good, you can have it now. I don't know, frankly, how many years we will be able to do that in the future. I think very soon, already now they are beginning to do that, but very soon there will be more and more difficulties to do that. And I think that very soon there will be a difficulty, a difference, a big difference between people able to do that and people that will just go to Google and put inside. You should have a look at Google most used query. Incredible. That's useless things. The most useless things. People looking for MP3 in Google, writing MP3. It doesn't work, by the way. But they do that. They look for sex. They write sex. It's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. They don't find what they want. But that's what they keep doing, millions and millions and millions. It's something I really fail to understand sometimes. And you can have a look actually at a Google Zeitgeist. Ah, that's also now they are putting news. The reason Google had I go on sideline, but it's an interesting one as well. Now Google has a new news beta service. Why does Google has a new beta service? Because Google is trying to eliminate all the concurrents. And the only thing that fast all the web had, which was very, very good, was the news service. So Google said, good, how can we screw fast completely? Let's have our own news service. And they are trying to do a better one than fast. But as you can see, it is very American-oriented. The problem with Americans is that they don't understand that there is life elsewhere on the planet. And that's true. And that's the reason that this news service is not as good as fast one, at least for us. Now, I was telling you about the queries that people do. The queries that people do are incredibly dull. But among this dullness and stupidity, there are some jewels. I see it on my own site. I have an Amazon search engine, which people use to search things on my site, which is pretty messy, to say the least. And people that search something there sometimes search for things that I didn't know about, which is quite interesting. So I have a grepping filter that tells me about which kind of things have been searched for on my site, which I'm not aware of, but which probably are interesting. So having a site is another way to have more knowledge, because people come People collaborate. Normally they give something, one out of thousand, but they do. And the fact that they come, the simple fact that they come from somewhere, as I told you, is interesting because you can see where they come from. Most of them don't use proxy, as I told you. So you find message boards, sites that speaks about searching and these kind of things. And then they search. They search for things they care for, which are most of the time interesting for you as well. So that's in little, it's the sense of having a search engine. Now imagine you have Google yourself or Fast, and you have 20 million queries. And then all of a sudden, one of these queries is about, Amexco, the American Express company. Well, something fishy. What's going on? You see, you have an advantage of time in knowing what is going on it's worth the money you spent on a search engine. I don't understand why there is no real good public-funded European search engine, because I'm pretty sure that even people working for the European institution are using Google, and the data they are looking for in the central bank in Frankfurt are probably known in Washington before Brussels. So, I spoke to you about Usenet. I imagine that all of you know what Usenet is. Do you? You do. Good. Well, it's a pity, and it's really saddening for me to see that Usenet is less and less used. People tend to use private message boards to exchange information, and on Usenet only old people and trollers and that kind of people leave and do things, which is a pity, because it's the web is growing like that even now, and Usenet is now actually slightly going down, which is a real pity, because it is a concentrated place where you can search information which is very difficult to find elsewhere. For instance, why doesn't it take the first letter? As you can see, the first thing you find here is which Usenet groups are speaking about that. And then you can sort by date, which is better than by relevance normally when you search. And then you can find here, 28 December. That's the things that they said today about the Nikon F2. Now, this is just an example, of course, and you can do the same thing for anything you're looking for. The problem is that it won't be enough, because at the moment, if you would confine yourself and limit yourself to Usenet, it wouldn't be a very good idea. You would have also to search the relevant message boards for the F2. Then there are the web rings. You know what web rings are? Web rings are very useful for searchers, because in the web rings are mostly people interested in something. And those people have sites, and those people have links pages, and those people have found a lot of things about the things that interest you. So you can use web rings as well. You can use, as I told you, Netcraft to find sites with that name. You can use Usenet message boards to get from the other side. You can use regional search engines to get from there. And then you can use the main search engines, of course, like Google or Fast too. I will show you a small and quick panoramic of the search engines. I don't know. I think most of you probably do use Google as first choice at the moment. I think very few of you ever use other search engines. Believe me or not, this is a pity for you, and you should try. By all means, Google is useful, and I'm not saying that. You should try WiseNote as well. You should try OpenFine. should try fast, these four as first group. Alta Vista is still a very good engine, even if it is very easy to be spammed. But it is a good engine for many things, like the index off trick we saw before. Alta Vista is actually very useful. Northern Light, as I told you, is a Canadian search engine which was very good because it divided automatically with a very good algorithm the answer it gave to you in folders. So you already could choose among them. There are many other search engines, but there is one that I want to show you because it's very funny and I love it actually, even if it is a little stupid, which is Cartoon. Now, let's search. Maybe a little slow. So, this is the normal answer from Cartoon. But this stupid flash version is actually very funny and at times very useful because if it works, it will give you an idea of the interconnections between the things you're searching for. Now, I don't know if... It gives you a result in three dimensions, which at times can make things more clear for yourself. Because, you see, one of the main points when you search is trying to think at similar words. What... You may be sure that... For instance, if you search for, let's imagine poetry, but you're actually searching for a French poet, well, you should use the word poésie in French as well. And the same thing, it doesn't work, stuck or something. Oh, yeah, you have to input it again. So I have to click here to start search. Looks more and more stupid. Oh, here it comes. No, that's the reason I wanted to show it to you. Now, you see, advanced searching. I'm in the middle of it, by the way. But that's not the reason I like it. I like it because it gives, it gives you connections which are not, at times, not so obvious, but which are due to the fact that this kind of search is connected with those things. It would be almost impossible for me to come to the idea that www.un.org and operator go to tips with advanced searching. But they do. And if you click there, you will discover why. So, this Cartoon thing looks very stupid. It's a very stupid, flashy thing. But it is, in my opinion, one of the most useful search engines you have when you begin a long query. You must understand that your searches are difficult because the things you're looking for are hidden in the web. It's like throwing an arrow. And you need more than one arrow to find what you're looking for. And this is one of the possible arrows you should, by all means, use at times. You will be amazed at the quantity and the quality of results that will allow you to have if you use that correctly. Huh? As you can see, there are other small things that you can use there, but I won't now concentrate too much on that. I think I'm almost finished, and we can have some questions. I have maybe one last thing that I wanted to show you. Yeah, but I cannot because I don't have here. I wanted actually to have a Windows operating system to show you how easy it is to reverse engineer or to open source, as I call it, Windows software. There is a browser called Opera, which there is a Linux version, of course, and a Macintosh version as well that you should use by all means, which comes for free but with a small advertisement banner. It is trivially easy to eliminate this kind of things from the software you use, and I wanted to show you that. Because, in my opinion, reversing is very important, is as important as searching. Just to make you a final example before the questions, I have here a very incredible object. I think this is forbidden now. This comes from the DDR. It is a Bleistifthalter. This object is the most anti-commercial object I ever seen in my life. You can put a used or a IKEA Bleistift inside it, and then you can use it as if it were a long one, which prolongs the life of Bleistiften incredibly. This is a revolutionary thing, actually, and I'm amazed at the power of these things in the world of today, where I don't think they are allowed anymore. I have another one, because I knew I went to Berlin, so I took another DDR thing, which is a Klappmappe. This is an incredible object. Too, it's a very interesting thing. When I got these things, I asked the people that brought them to me how much they were worth, and they told me that there is a price inside, and that is AVP 270, which is the DDR mark. I think it's 20 Pfennig or something like that. So, and that's finished. If you have any questions, I'm sorry about the fact that it didn't work very well at the beginning, so I had a little to go here and there. But I think the main point that I would like you to understand is that now you should be able to begin to find the information you need to find things, which is the point of this session.
I have a question, please. In the beginning, you mentioned that it's possible to exploit requests from other people. They did, and they worked very long on to formulate these questions. Could you give an example for this? You mentioned it's possible to exploit, to use questions, queries people did before, and it took them a very long time to generate these questions, these queries. Can you give an example for this?
I'm not sure if I understood you correctly. What I said is that the search queries people make on my own search engines are logged, so I can see them. Is that what you mean?
Oh, I see.
They are all logged. If you search for something that I don't know, I will see what you're searching for. That's the same thing that Google does, actually.
Sorry, I got you wrong.
So
I just doubt two statements you made, or perhaps I didn't understand you right.
You may put your question in German if you prefer. There's no problem.
Also,
I understand it.
Zunächst, es kam so rüber, als ob alles im Internet zu finden wäre. Es gibt Unmengen an Büchern und Bildern, die längst nicht digitalisiert sind, wo es Jahre dauern wird, bis das alles mal irgendwie erreichbar ist. Und das Zweite, es kam auch so rüber, als wäre, wenn erstmal etwas, was im Internet veröffentlicht ist, dass das dann auch so bleibt. Also dieses Web-Archive wurde genannt, aber... Also das NSA speichert die Sachen vielleicht alle, aber öffentlich zugänglich, auch mit solchen Tricks sind die Sachen nicht, denke ich. Weil viele Server, die gehen dann wieder runter und dann sind die Sachen eben weg, weil keiner dran gedacht hat, das zu cachen.
Also, yes, no. On one side, it is true, not everything is on the web. On the other side, it was almost impossible for me not to find something I was looking for. So it is true there is a very strong English-oriented publication rung, if you want. So it's more easy to find English books than German ones or Italian ones or French ones. But this is changing now. So that's the reason I made the example with The Lord of the Ring, because I was sure that there were at least 200 copies on the web of The Lord of the Ring, especially now with the film and Hollywood crap. But you can find any classical English book. I doubt that there is any English book which has not been published on the web. For the German, Russian, French, and Italian, whatever books, it's more limited, but it is getting, if you want, better and better every day. So if you don't find, Umberto Eco today, you will find it tomorrow in Italian, and you will probably already find the English translation anyway. So that's one thing. The second thing, and ich werde das euch als Aufgabe geben für heute Abend, is to find which library allows you to download on the web any book it has, library, for free if you just give them one email address. Whatever, so Superman at Yahoo. Then they will send you per email the digital copy of the book you wanted. It's a library, it's a real library, it's the main library of a big state. Should I tell you more? Or will you find it? I'll tell you more, it's Australian Library. They have a special service which frees them from copyright problems. In them, you sign per email that you will never publish what they send to you on the web. But I mean, it's no kidding, it's the Australian Library. I mean, just imagine what you can have. It's the Australian National Library. Everything. Go there and have a look for yourself. So you see, on one side, there is not everything on the web. On the other side, I think there is everything on the web. I just had a look at this new, my kids wanted that, the Lord of the Ring Part 2. There are 200 copies already on the web, even before it went out on the kinos. So, I mean, for these things, it's very easy, because they are known, and, you know, the more known, the more popular they are, the more easy it is to find them. So Nietzsche, Zarathustra, you will find it immediately. Heidegger, Parerga, Paralipomena, that will be difficult, but it is on the web as well.
So. I have two comments to make. First, about information, the searching, and the anonymity. Starting from the point, nine of the root server are located in US, and 80% of the IP traffic is passing through US, and all of them are under the US legal framework. Then that means even if we use proxy in US, it could be a danger to be identified. And we leave trace. Each search we do is information we give in a certain way. Yes. All search engines are login keyword we use, and in US, they are making data mining of those keywords.
Yes.
And then, if we think we are really anonymous, we have to think that, okay, we cannot make relation between the search and people, but just think all those people in this room, most of them have a GSM mobile phone, and all those GSM have an address. All those people coming in that room, you know, could be flagged on the GSM, and when they're coming home, we know where they are, and we can start to be close to the ISP to make an investigation from that. It was my first comment about, to be anonymous. And the second comment is about information. from the 11th of September is a good example. Some information disappeared from the net, and some information were created to be found on the net. And it's not because we find an information that we find really something credible. We can create information to be found. Okay, thank you.
You touch a lot of problems. It would require many hours to discuss, but let's begin from the end of your point. The evaluation is very important. Knowing how to evaluate what you find is maybe the most difficult and most important thing. Imagine that we create today a site and we call it University of Kreuzberg. Why not? We make some nice seagulls and very beautiful thing, and we invent some docent which are doing that and that and that, and if people pay us 1,000 euro, they will have a diploma of the University of Kreuzberg in 1 year, only 1 year per correspondence. You think you wouldn't get people for that? You will get a lot of people. People are not able to evaluate correctly things. And internet is a very funny media, that point of view. This gives us freedoms, but also I think maybe we should teach more how to evaluate things. What the anonymity problems, you know, there is no anonymity on in internet. I have no doubt whatsoever that whatever you do is it's not actually personally monitored, but you are one number in a figure which will be calculated. So what you are doing will be calculated and will mean something to somebody. All of the things you do go through server in the States, which means that the server in the States know better than we do what people are looking for, what people are doing, how many people are interested in, I don't know, fetish, bondage, shoes, whatever. But even if they can identify us, even if they can do it personally, so what? So what? We teach knowledge, and knowledge that people can use. And there is no way they can stop that. There is nothing they can do. What they can do and what they do is to create smoke. So to create so many other distracting things that important messages don't come across, don't go through. And this is what's happening most of the time with, but this is happening everywhere with mass media as well. Look at the ARD or ZDF, what they send. People should think at this. Have you seen, I don't know if you watch television, I avoid it as much as I can, but sometimes I see the horrible things. So people, these new little groups, people watch them day after day. This even worse than the soap operas of Brazil or that kind of things. I mean, and this is the kind of food that is given to the zombies every day. But once more, so what? I mean, we are not here to free the zombies. It is impossible. They are dead. They're completely dead. We are here to try to stay alive ourselves. And it takes all the running we can do to remain in the same place, like in Lewis Carroll. And that's enough, I think, if we manage to do that. I'm not overly, how we say, besorged about the fact that they know who I am or what I do. So what? I like to do that. No. Is there any law against that? Not yet. Not yet. There is not yet a law against spreading knowledge. They are trying to do that, as you know very well. But they are trying even to forbid the tools that we use to spread knowledge. But at the moment, I told you, I don't think we will be able to do it very long. But that doesn't mean that we have to go in the clandestine. I mean, so what? It's a lost battle. Well, we do it nevertheless.
A maybe technical question. You were talking about using local search engines like... I'm here.
I don't see you. Ah, yes, sorry.
Like maybe Russian or Indian engines. All right, I'm German, I speak German, maybe a little English and French, but I have no clue about Indian, Russian, and so forth. Do I still have a chance to use them?
Yes, of course, because if you use them, there is a good reason to do that. I mean, you're looking for something which is in Russia or in India or in China. So, if you are interested in haiku,
you must know a little Japanese. Either that or there is no point in doing that. You can, nevertheless, use some of those engines in English because not all of them are in the local language, especially in India and Pakistan, most of them are in English. But even in Russia, there are search engines which have an English version, maybe not very good translated. But if you're searching in Russia, why are you doing that? Because you're searching for document, data, or files which are probably, it will be easy to find them there and not elsewhere. The point with the local engines is that you're searching local, and which is very important because if you're searching, for instance, a French book, well, actually, I wouldn't begin with Google. I would begin with Voila, or what's the name of the various search French engines, or with French Usenet groups, or with French message boards, and then I would find it more easily than through Google or the main engine. That's the point. Other point is that you should know the searching terminology. I didn't do it yet, but I think I will prepare a page with all the terminology in various languages for searching, so at least you know which icon to push in order to start a search in Indonesian, which is important at times as well. Japanese search engines are fundamental if you're looking for kids, cartoons, that kind of things, for instance. And another thing, Japan has a very strong copyright laws, but they don't know English, most of the authorities there. So if you publish The Lord of the Ring in Japan, it will remain for years before somebody noticed that. It's like if you would publish a Japan book here. If you publish here a Japan book, nobody would notice that. I mean, how would they know? So that's the same thing. So you can find in Japan a lot of things that you wouldn't be able to find elsewhere. For instance, but China is even worse, or better, as it depends from the point of view. Sorry? No, I mean in English. I mean, you find it in China in English. Sorry. I know this man is an expert searcher.
I was looking for something on Al Jazeera connected to 9/11. So, of course, I can't read Arabic. What I did was the first thing, find a translator which is able to translate Arabic pages to any language you speak. And, of course, this was English, most probably. And I found a Dutch page which gave me an URL and the trick to use English Arabic translator both ways, which actually is closed, but with some trick this journalist found out, you could use it and you can read Al Jazeera in English, and I would say the translation is very good for such an automatic tool. And I'm sure there will be automatic translators for other languages and other alphabets you can't read as well.
If I may add something, this is a very important answer. You have a cosmic power of searching. It's incredible. You can search solutions for what you are looking for. So to go back to your questions, if you don't know Russian, well, you search how to get the Russian page in English or in German or whatever, and then you use it. Searching and knowing how to do it will give you incredible power. It's really amazing. It's more dangerous than hacking or cracking or whatever, because you can have all of that in a very short time. You may not have the depth of somebody that did hack all the time and knows how to do it very well, and you may not have the experience that he has, but you will be able to find the best ones and ask them directly how to do. You will be able to find the best text about that or what about whatever you want. So the power which will give you, you will be amazed. Any questions?
I want to support the opinion that maybe the NSA has everything on the web that was published ever and will be published ever, but I see finding becoming more difficult because I see kind of an algorithm that says that the searching machines, whatever you can find right away, is made through, for example, an article in the New York Times. If it's published in the New York Times, like Lord of the Rings is going to be showed right away, you can find the film on the net. That's true. But if I'm looking for some film that's not from now, from 20 years ago, for example, Brazil, from the Monty Pythons, I'm looking for it since I'm sharing. But I don't find it. It's not the thing that's important right now, so I don't find it. And the bandwidth that brings to me the information that this film is eventually served somewhere on a host in Indonesia is full with all the information about Lord of the Rings, so no. I won't get there.
It is true what you say. It is more difficult to find things which are not under the light. But believe me or not, you will find that film. Just to make you an example, there is currently, I will then close this session, there is currently a search contest, if you want, about an old advertisement film, which we are doing. It is an advertisement film where you have only one small image and you have to find out. You don't have the product, you don't have nothing, you have to find out the whole advertisement film. Now, believe it or not, in looking for that, I myself, I didn't know about that, I found at least three or four repositories on the web of all, I'm not kidding, all advertisement film sent in the French television from 1957 when it began until now. So all the advertisement film on the French television from 57 until now are on a site on the web. And you can look at them. It's incredible. You may imagine how... So I think, I didn't check it, but I think there will be similar things for the German, English, American, whatever, even more. So you understand, these sites are not easy to find. And by the way, they are closed, so you should have to pay or to adhere to some clan to go inside them, but that's not the problem, as I told you. The point is that they exist. These are the hidden database. They are there. All the photos of the galaxies, of all the, I don't know how many millions of galaxies there are that the telescope took, are on the web. All the insects in the Mediterranean Sea, swimming in the water, are on the web. You must understand that when one university goes online, it goes really online. That's it. They sub-appalt it to somebody, and these people make scanning of everything and put everything on the web. That's it. And these universities, these museums, these national libraries are going online all the time because it's trendy. So, yeah, or whatever. I don't know why they do it. Nobody used that, actually. Not even the students of those places. So what I mean, believe me or not, that film that you're looking is somewhere. And when you will find it...
But somehow, as you say, trendy, to me it looks like the luck of finding something depends on the actual fashion. So it could be like, this year I'm finding all about advertising in the 50s. But next year I don't find it anymore, but I find about gardening in the last century.
No, because as I told you, everything that goes on the web remains forever. So if this year those advertisements are there, they will be there in 20 years' time. There is no way you can pull something off the web. No way. Try it. Try it yourself. Publish something and then see if you can put it away. You will be amazed how many copies they will make. Well, there are some famous cases of things which angeblich, as the Germans say, have been pulled off the web. But just to make a simple example, the reversing of the DVD thing, there are thousands of places where you can find. Should we move elsewhere? Somebody else has to use this. Yes.
Thanks. The problem is that things is vanishing from the web. If you look, for instance, even at sites like Cryptome, where you would think that stuff doesn't vanish, but also documents are vanishing from there. If you look at FAS.org, the Federation of American Scientists, which has done a lot of valuable things in research and publishing, they are moving stuff out of the web, and it is vanishing from the Google cache, and it is vanishing from other places, and people are not mirroring everything. So my experience is that stuff is either becoming payware, and so you need to pay to get it, or it's completely vanishing, and you need to archive everything locally.
I don't call that vanishing. You need to pay. That's no problem for us. You need to pay. So what? I don't pay. There is whenever do you have to pay for something on the web? When? There is no point in that. You can access any database, as I told you and as I did show to you. So if you call that vanishing, that you're right. Things are being commercialized more and more. But that's no problem for us. We don't respect this point. The web is for sharing, and we share. And we teach people, teach people how to bypass all people that don't want to share. Nothing can vanish.
Just the last small question. How would you save the Usenet?
Sorry?
I'm here on the other side. You're saying it's a pity that the Usenet is used less and less, and the Usenet does have a big number of flaws.
Yes.
How would you save the Usenet?
What I'm doing, every time I speak in public, I try to recall the attention of people about the fact that Usenet exists. I doubt that the people that have heard that will use it, but I don't think there is much to do. The problem, Usenet was a very good tool in another time split, if you want. Nowadays, it has some limits, and that's the reason people use it less and less, unfortunately. But I don't think there is much to do. I personally use it, not all the time, but very often. And I find a lot of information there, which is very important. I advise you to do the same. If you do it, you will gain. If you don't do it, you will gain. You will find something else. I mean, there are many ways to get at the data you need. Usenet is one of them.
What do you think about copyright issues?
I don't respect copyright. I don't even respect private property.